Good afternoon, brethren. It was a little stressful over here. They shut down the highway on me. Yeah. And it wasn't pleasant. Several weeks ago, I spoke in Ocala. My wife and I went out to eat with some of the brethren after services. And at one end of the table, a gentleman brought up the topic of angels. And he said he always believed that angels only appear to human beings to rescue or assist them. Another gentleman told a fascinating story about being on the construction site after 5 p.m. Everyone else had left and became pinned. And he dangled by his tool belt about 10 stories up with nobody around. And how a man he never even seen before on the construction site walked up to him and asked him if he needed some help. Just before he passed out. And then he woke up safely inside the building on the ground floor. That gentleman who started the topic asked me if I believe that angels appear to human beings just to help and assist them. And I had to remind him that in our Bible, it tells us that angels help us in many ways. And they sometimes may not even know, we may not even know, that it was an angel. If you ask someone if they have an angel story, I'm sure they do. Or they've heard it from someone, a friend or a relative. We are told in our Bibles that angels are all around us, all the time, to help us, bring us aid, and messages from God. Brethren, they do much more than that. And there is more than one type of an angel. So today, we're going to review to look at some scriptures that briefly bring out the five duties of angels and how they interact with human beings when they are needed or when they are directed to help us from God. But first, let's review the different type of angels that God made that are listed in our Bible. And they are a cherubim, a seraphim, and archangels. Brother, nowhere in the Bible is the term guardian angel used. However, there are many places mentioned where an angel has been delivered or protected human beings, and other places that the Bible says that someone has their angel, meaning their very own personal angel. Let's turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Right here, the disciples were arguing among themselves as to which one of them would be the greatest position in the kingdom. So Jesus called a little child to him and told, "We are to be converted and become like little children, or we're not going to enter the kingdom. So we are to humble ourselves like little children." And let's read that in verse 10. Matthew 18, verse 10, what Jesus Christ says about their angels. "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." That's quite interesting, brethren, that Jesus said that their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. From this passage and other places, we can see that we have our own personal angel that are constantly around us to help us. When we even go through troubles or go through trials, it is often referred to read the Psalms. From these books and chapters, we can see that angels are actually commanded to be around us at all times and keep us from falling and getting hurt. It also says these angels have been with us and will be with us from this time forth and forever to be with us. And they even strengthen us when necessary, and they minister to us. And that can be found in Psalms 34, verse 7, Psalms 91, verse 10 through 13, and Psalms 103, verse 21. Let's read some of that. David wrote in Psalms 34 that the angel of the Lord encamps all those who fear him and delivers them. Also in Psalms 91, verse 11 through 13, it brings up the subject of angels and how they are in charge of protecting us. Verse 11, For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hand they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And so in Psalms 103, we read a Psalms of David. That just repeats what we just read in Psalms 91. The psalm includes verses about the children of Israel being protected by angels. After reading these psalms, we can say that we would be watched over and blessed if we obey God. Let's begin now by defining and talking about the three different types of angels that are mentioned in the Bible. The first one is a cherubim. And you spell that C-H-E-R-U-B-I-M. This cherubim is probably the most misunderstood angel in the Bible. I'm sure we all have seen the little winged, baby-faced angels with diapers floating around in pictures, on statues, and in books. Brethren, that's not what the Bible says about these angels. Nowhere does it state they were baby-faced or wore diapers. Instead, it states the cherubim are angels with four wings and can have four types of different faces, and they look like living creatures. The Bible dictionary defines a cherubim as the plural form of cherub. But since they usually travel in pairs, they're referred to cherubim. The translated word literally means great, mighty, and are often written about as human-headed winged bulls. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1, 5 through 9. Ezekiel 1, 5 through 9. And in the far was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was human. But each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. All four of them had faces and wings, and the wings of one touched the wings of another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. These cherubim had four faces, four wings, and their appearance form was a human. And they also had some winged creature form too. If we was to go to Exodus 25, we don't have to, but we read a detailed description of the cherubim that were made out of gold and attached to the Ark of the Covenant. So from our Bible, it tells us these cherubim can stand guard over something, usually in pairs, with their wings outstretched. Let's go to the second type of an angel. That's a seraphim. S-E-R-A-P-H-I-M. The Bible's dictionary states the definition is literally burning ones. The word seraph is normally the same as a word used for serpents in the Hebrew Bible. We can begin turning there, and that's Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 8. Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 8. This is describing the fiery six-winged beings that fly around God's throne, singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And they are said to be the caretakers of God's throne. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. Two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5. So I say, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am the man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Right here, Isaiah realized that even in his vision, he was before God's throne, and he was unclean. Verse 6, and then one of the seraphim flew to me. Right here is one of the few places that we read about a human being seeing an angel flying toward them. Most angels are seen in some type of a human form, having in his hand a live coal, which he has taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." This was a type of purification, of healing of his unclean lips so that Isaiah could now speak. Verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." These verses describe the seraphim in detail. What they look like, what they sounded like, and what their job is. It says that seraphim each had six wings. With two wings he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. But notice verse 4. It stated that the angels cried out and shook the post of the door. These angels had six wings, could fly, and they had a booming voice to spread the glory of God. And their duty is to protect and attend to God and his throne. Let's look at our third type of an angel, which is archangels, which are also called chief angels, and they're also called battle angels and messengers. Our Bible and commentary tells us that God uses archangels to administer the government of God throughout the realm of angels. There are three archangels mentioned in the Bible. That is in the New King James Translation. And they are Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, who we know as the fallen angel, and now as Satan the devil. Let's turn to some examples of these archangels in action. Let's talk about Michael. Let's turn to Jude 1, verse 9. I'll be reading this out of the New Living Translation. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. The commentary suggests that Michael did not want to argue and get mad at Satan over this matter, but to let God handle it. That's a very good lesson for me, brethren, and for all of us too, not to get mad and get angry, but take it to God in prayer and let Him handle it. We can see that in the future, the next battle mentioned in Revelation 12, that Michael and his angels will throw Satan and his demons back to earth. Let's move on now to Archangel Gabriel. Gabriel is only mentioned 5 times in the New King James Version of the Bible. And in those 5 places, he is pictured as the messenger and the proclaimer of visions and messages from God. In Daniel 8, verse 15 through 18, is where Gabriel helps Daniel interpret a vision. Not only did Gabriel have to deliver a message to Daniel about the vision, but he also had to wake him up after he fainted, much like the man from Ocala who told his angel story. In Daniel 9, verse 20 and 22, it's an interesting set of scriptures about Daniel and Gabriel's second meeting. This time Daniel was speaking and praying, and he saw the angel Gabriel in the form of a man flying toward him to deliver a message to Daniel. That had been quite a sight. We all know that Satan is a fallen archangel, and other fallen angels are with him. We're not going to review his descriptions or achievements, because we all know what they are. Let's move on now to list the specific duties of God's angels. I've listed 5 specific duties of angels. There may be more, but we're going to talk about 5 today. Number 1, angels are messengers from God. They're messengers from God. In Genesis 16, this is the first place in the Bible that the phrase, "an angel of the Lord," is used. We don't have to turn there, but Genesis 16, verse 1 through 6, is referring to Abraham and Sarah, talking about using her handmaiden Hagar to have a son with. And after the boy's birth, Sarah becomes jealous and wanted to get rid of Hagar. We know that after the conversation between Sarah and Abraham, Sarah dealt harshly with her and caused her to flee from them. Unfortunately, she fled to the desert, where she would have died if the angel hadn't found her and talked to her in verse 7 through 11 and convinced her to go back to Abraham and Sarah. This same type of message was written about in the New Testament. The archangel Gabriel spoke to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Let's turn there. Luke 1, verse 11 through 25. Luke 1. We'll just read some main verses out of this chapter. Let's begin in verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Brethren, we know God is not a God of fear. So Gabriel told him not to be afraid. Verse 13. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." The angel went on to tell Zacharias what his son John would be doing with his life, and how he would have the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Zacharias was a little confused and had a question, a very good question, how he and his wife could have a son since they were so old. Gabriel wasn't messing around no longer. He made an example to Zacharias. Let's begin in verse 19. And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring to you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Zacharias was not able to speak until his son John was born. If we were to go on and read verse 26 through 38 in this same chapter of Luke, we'd read about Gabriel appearing and speaking to Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. Even though Gabriel gave Mary an uplifting, different kind of greeting than Zacharias, she was still a little afraid, and he had to comfort her and assure her. Gabriel went on to tell Mary what Jesus would do and how he would rule on earth and in his kingdom. Although Mary did not believe Gabriel either, and everything he said, she had another good question. Then Mary said to the angel, verse 34, "How can this be, since I don't even know a man?" That'd be quite an interesting situation there, wouldn't it? Gabriel replied in verse 35 and answered her question. Let's read 35 through 38. I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and now is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." Verse 38, Mary responds, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Gabriel answered her question and informed her of Elizabeth's pregnancy also. He comforted her, and she believed what he was telling her. Our second duty as an angel. Angels are to be protectors. Let's go to Genesis 19. You might want to put a marker here. We'll be back and forth. Genesis 19. This is where we read about the two angels that are sent to Sodom to locate and count the righteous who was living in that city. Let's begin in Genesis 19, verse 10. This is where Lot brought the two angels to his house, and the men of Sodom came to the door. Lot went out to reason with them, and it states in verse 10, "But the man reached out their hands and pulled Lot back into the house with them and shut the door." The angel protected Lot by pulling him back in the house and shut the door. Another example is in Daniel 6, where Daniel is thrown into the lion's den for not bowing down to the king's statue. I hope we all know the story about how the king couldn't sleep that night after throwing Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel 6, verse 20. So he had to go out the next morning, went out early to the lion's den. In verse 20, "And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?' The king couldn't sleep all night and had to go check and call out to him. It bothered him really bad. Verse 21, "Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lions' mouths so they could not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. Also, O king, I have done no wrong before you.'" Brother, what an example of faith and the miracle of being protected by God's angels. From these examples, we can see that angels can protect us from anything, even ourselves. Our third point is that angels can perform miracles to help us. They can perform miracles to help us. Let's go back to Genesis 19 again. Talking about the two angels that came into Sodom. "And they struck the man who were at the doorway with the house with blindness, both small and great. So they became weary trying to find the door." Not only did the two angels pull Lot back inside the house and shut the door, but they blinded all the evil men of Sodom. They are outside and trying to get them. Can you imagine, brethren, a whole mob suddenly blind and barely moving, and they stumbled through the darkness? Been quite a miracle to see, wouldn't it? I guarantee I would have stepped back and said, "Whoa." Another place in the Bible where it gives us an example of an angel performing a miracle is found in Acts 12. Acts 12, 7 through 10. This is a miracle how God helped Peter, how he was delivered outside the city, and how his chains just fell off and the doors opened up for him to go out. The angel struck Peter and told him to arise quickly, and he woke him up, made the chains fall off, and made a light so Peter could find his things and get dressed. Yet the guards didn't see, they didn't hear anything. This is the first set of miracles that the angel performed for Peter. The next miracle occurred in verse 10, When they came to the iron gate that lies to the city, it opened on its own accord. Brethren, they were thick, wrought iron, locked gates, and they did not open without a key. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Our fourth duty as an angel. Angels can transport human beings. They can transport human beings. This means they can literally pick one up and transport someone from one place to another. That's not science fiction either, brethren. I had to add that. Let's go back to the story of Lot in Genesis 19. This time reading in verse 16. While he lingered, this is talking about Lot here again, the man took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. Two angels transported four grown adults outside the city, set them on their way, and gave them direction. There are more places in the Bible that gives us an example. It talks about angels transporting. That's in Acts 5, 17 and through 20. This is talking about the angel of the Lord brought the apostles out of jail in Jerusalem and told them to go back to the temple and preach more. After that experience, how God protected and helped them and told them to go back and preach even more, I bet you it made their faith and their message much more stronger. Sadly, the final point today is angels have to be sent to be destroyers. Number five is that sometimes angels have to destroy. Only when God has to. And at a last resort, does He send His angels to destroy wicked human beings, as we read about in Genesis 19 of Sodom and Gomorrah? It's true, brethren. How many times has God had to destroy wicked human beings that weren't obeying Him? That's referring to the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, and many wicked kings. We know by reading the book of Revelation that angels are going to be used in the near future to destroy wicked human beings and governments that do not repent, even after the two witnesses preach and witness to the entire world. We don't have to turn there in Revelation 9, because not until the fifth trumpet sounds, an angel is sent to earth to a specific purpose to destroy wicked human beings. Even though the book of Revelation is all seen in a vision by the Apostle John and had to happen to mankind, brethren, it cannot be an easy task for these angels to destroy human beings. They were sent here to help and to minister us and to help us, brethren. Let's look at an example in our Bible of how much angels love and take care of human beings. A short verse, Luke 15, verse 10. Luke 15, verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let's turn to our last verse, Psalms 91. Let's go back to Psalms 91. Verse 11 through 16. I'll be reading this out of the New Living Translation. Brethren, these verses are talking about us, the faithful in the church, who will be protected now and in the future. Verse 11, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. We have reviewed the different categories of angels, what their duties are, and how they can help human beings and serve God. I hope we find comfort in knowing there are angels around us at all times to protect and help us at all times. I don't know about you, brother, but it is certainly a blessing having these angels around us to help us in these end times. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.